Shall we bow our heads? Lord, the words that we were singing about how you fed the people by Galilee, how you stood there on the shore and you fed the people both with the fish, with the food, and then also you taught them. We're here this morning and we are reaching out your hand to you and just asking that you would come and feed us. Lord, you've promised that your word won't fall void. You've said where two or three are gathered, you'll be in their midst. Your word is rich. And so, Father, we just purpose to open our hearts to you this morning. Be with me as I share. Would you give me clear thoughts and inspiration and ability to communicate? And I ask, Lord, that you'd help us all as we partake of the word this morning, that it could help us in this journey of life, in our walk with you. Lord, would you please be with Josh and Africa. Would you be with Ruth in Arkansas? We ask that, Lord, that you would be with those that are sick this morning and are not able to be here. We'd ask, Lord, that you would be with those that are getting baptized. God, would you help that their hearts would reach out to you? And Lord, would you meet them as they move forward in obedience today in baptism. So thank you, Lord, for being here. We just recognize your presence here. Be our shepherd. You are the head of the church, and we want to surrender ourselves to you. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. I was considering... in light of the baptism today, what to be sharing, whether to share something relating to baptism or go in a different direction. It seemed like the Lord was taking me in a bit of a different direction, and we'll let Brother Jared share more about baptism down at the pond. I have, here a couple of weeks ago, I shared out of the book of Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount, and I'd like to do some of the same again, take a couple of the subjects that Jesus taught on and just look at the teachings of Jesus. There's two specifically, I'm not sure if we'll get to three, but there's two specifically that I'd like to look up at in Matthew chapter 6 and 7. One is laying up treasures. What Jesus taught about that, and about judging others. And maybe we'll get to a third one, I'm not sure. We'll see. But these are good subjects for us, I think, as we look at some of the teachings of Jesus. If you want to turn with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6, and there's a couple here that I'm sort of going to skip over. There are more subjects that are taught on more regularly, I believe. And I'm going to drop down to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start reading in verse 19 through the end. It says these words, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thine whole body be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one, the one, and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body than the raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Laying up treasures. Think if we're all honest with ourselves, as we have looked at various people who are Christians, who call themselves Christians, there's at times we have observed and we have looked at situations and we have said, oh, it really seems like they're laying up treasures here on the earth. Have you seen that? I think all of us have seen that. Sometimes in this whole journey of endeavoring to find the will of God and what it means to lay up treasures in heaven and what it means to lay up treasures here on the earth and where the balance is of working and making a living and providing for our own and all those things, there's questions that come, right? There's questions that come. And the endeavor this morning is to look at these subjects and to look at the heart of what Jesus was really teaching and say, what was he trying to say? What was he trying to communicate? What was Jesus really trying to communicate, and how can we learn and walk in that way ourselves? That's the heart of what we like to look at. Sometimes there's people who have taken the idea that it's wrong for me to lay up any kind of food in my basement for the winter because it says to take no thought for tomorrow. There's others that take the position that that's really necessary. When it comes to having money, there's lots of questions as to, well, is there a necessity to, in this lifetime, lay up for my older age and my retirement age? Is it necessary to do that, or is that wrong? I remember some years ago, we were in a brothers' meeting here at the church, and there was a newer brother, and he looked at our savings account that we were saving in preparation to buy a church house in the future. And he looked at that and he said, now, it's wrong to have money in the savings account. And, you know, we're preparing for a church. We're preparing for the future. And he said he felt it was wrong to have a savings account in preparation for future church building. Okay, do you get the point? There's all kinds of ideas there, right? But we like to take a look at some of the teachings of Jesus. I'd like to give you a little story. Here, some time ago, I was called into a church situation where they were having struggles. There's various struggles in the local church, but one of the big issues, not the only problem, not the only struggle by any means, but one of the struggles that was going on in the local church is there was a brother in the church who had a fairly substantial sized business. And in this church, there was other brothers looking on and speaking into the situation with his substantial sized business. And as we looked and talked about the whole situation, I could ask any brother in that church setting, and including the owner of the business, and this is what they all said. They said, really, it wasn't any struggle in our midst until a couple years prior to this time. He decided to build a house. And when he decided to build a house, he built a pretty good-sized house. He built a big house, huge garage, very elaborate setting for the community that he lived in. Prior to that, there was, you know, he lived in a very modest house. He had a good-sized business, employed various people from the church, various people in the community. There was no struggle. But one day, he chose to build a house, and the house that he built was quite elaborate. And he started, I'm going to call lavishing it on himself, and you wouldn't believe the turmoil it caused in the church. Is money important? Our view of laying up treasures, is that important? I believe it is. So we'd like to just sort of dialogue through that. Could we do that? Could we sort of dialogue through that? Here's one of the things that I have come to, as time has gone on, I've come to realize that it's a difficulty. And I'm going to say it's a difficulty in my own home. It's a difficulty in our midst. And it's something that we, by default, in the work and things we get into, it tends to create issues and problems for ourselves. Am I allowed to say that? It tends to do that. And let me just say it this way. In today's world, with the whole work, manufacturing, building houses, all those kind of things that we live in, and our need to work, to make a living, it has moved away in a major way from where things were 2,000 years ago. And I don't know if you follow my train of thought. 2,000 years ago, the level of manufacturing, the level of business, the level of those types of things was very different than it was today, or than it is today. It's very different. And let me just give you some examples. Today, if you go out here to the small town of Millersburg and you put a little storefront in there, and you try to attract business into that store to sustain a living. Okay, so we need to make a living. So we go put a store in there. And if you put a store in there, there's a high level of marketing that needs to be done to draw people into the store. So not only the things that you sell, but also the type of things that you want to sell, merchandise that you want to sell. And so what we do is we pay a lot of attention to the type of things we sell. So we try to make everything look the best possible, right? We try to make it look nice to appeal to the eye of the person walking in colors, in decorations, in all kinds of things. I don't know if you follow. We're trying to make things appeal, to look nice, to be the very best. We're trying to create something that appeals to the customer. Okay. And that happens. I have furniture. And guess what we do? We endeavor to make the nicest bedroom furniture possible that appeals to the eye. We do that in building. We build houses, right? We build houses. And so people that build houses, they end up building these elaborate houses, right? You build these elaborate houses, you know, with best colors, best decoration, and all of a sudden, when it comes down to us deciding what kind of a house that we want or need, or what kind of a car we should drive, or what kind of, do you follow where I'm going? All of a sudden, those things that we use to make a living affects the way we live. I like for us to think about that. That's something that I feel challenged in my own heart. I feel very challenged because we endeavor to be the best, to have the best, to create the best, all those kind of things, and then live like a stranger and a pilgrim. Do you get the point? All right, I feel challenged with that. I feel challenged with that. And that comes in many, many, if we go around the circle, in the occupations we have and the things we do, kitchen cabinets, everything we do, I feel challenged with that. I personally feel challenged because then we bring those concepts back home, and I believe it affects the way we think, it affects the way we live, and it tends to take us in a wrong way. And I'm just throwing that out for us to think about and to consider. Think about those things. Think about it. Okay, so I'd like to just take a quick look at the idea of lavishing money upon ourselves. Now, reflecting on the little story I gave there, it seemed like this brother that had this business, when he was using the finances in the right way, he was supplying a good labor for brothers in the church, paying them a nice wage. It was a respectable business. It was nice. Everything was good. But the day that he started lavishing things upon himself, something happened. Something happened. So I'd like to just ask the question, is it right to lavish things upon ourselves? Is it right? At what point is it lavishing things upon ourselves? At what point is that? Where does it cross that line to where we're laying up for ourselves treasures upon the earth? Where is that place where it comes from being a nice, comfortable, blessed place to live, or a nice car to drive, you name it. Not only the structure, but the contents, all of those things. Where does it move into lavishing things upon ourselves? Now, just a couple weeks ago, I think it was Brother David Miller shared a sermon on gluttony. That was good. That was a good sermon. And I think if we would be very honest, there's a level of food that all of us enjoy that there's a lot of people in the world. Maybe I should bring that closer. In that our neighbors don't even have that privilege. I'd say they might have the privilege, but they don't do it. I'd like to suggest that food is an area where we can lavish food upon ourselves above and beyond what could be necessary. I struggle at times when I, you know, all of us might go to restaurants here and there, to various things, but then there's places that you can go that some people with money, they go to these places and it costs lots and lots and lots of money. Or we go all out with our food preparation in our house. Where is that? Where does some of those things become part of laying up treasures for ourselves? I just put that question out. Those things can happen in our houses and the food and vehicles. And I'd also just like to suggest that we're living in a generation where there's a lot more money floating around than there used to be some years ago. In fact, my mom and dad, I was fairly young at the time, but my mom and dad say that they tell me the story of how it used to be in their early marriage and when I was one of those little boys, and how there just wasn't much food around. There was hardly any money around. And guess what? One day, people knew that one day there's a bag of groceries showed up at our doorstep. Was it just to be kind? No. It was because they knew that the Millers needed money. Today, we're living in a different society, and our young men, they make nice money, right? Okay? You know, when my wife and I got married, we sat on a bar stool, on two bar stools to eat, and we had one love seat, and my brothers used to joke when they came to our house, they'd have to sit on 5-gallon pails or on the floor. You know, right after we got married. Okay, do you get the picture? Today, those things have changed. And there's a tendency to go all out in the things we buy when we start up. Debt, all kinds of things to lavish things upon ourselves. I'm just saying this, not to say it's wrong to have a nice couch. Not saying it's wrong to have nice dishes and all. I'm just saying, I think we need to consider carefully, when are we laying up treasures on the earth? And what about laying up treasures in heaven? Now, let's just ask a question here. Is there allowance to lay money aside for retirement? Is that a good thing or is it not? Am I saying a difficult thing here? Get myself in trouble, right? Is it a right thing? Is it a good thing? Is it a good thing to look ahead for... Okay, so... I class myself as a young man. I've got a couple gray hair, but I've come to the age where, it used to be that I was like, I'm 35 now, okay? Now I'm looking from the top down and I say, if I have a long life, I'll have 20 years to live. Did you follow the train of thought? I'm looking at it from that angle. And I'm looking at it, I look at our young sons, and, there's energy to burn. The other night, one of my sons came, he worked hard, he sweated all day, and he came home, and guess what he did? He went out on the road and ran 3 miles and came in and sat down and relaxed. Well, if I'd have that kind of energy, right? Okay, times are changing, right? I don't have the energy that I used to, just a couple of years ago. And I'm looking in the future, and I'm asking the question, when I come to the age that my health is failing, and I'm not old enough, or I'm not able to have a job, is it good for me to be laying money aside now in preparation for that? Or do I just simply keep on working and give all my extras away? And once I get to be 75 years old and I can't work anymore, then my children will just take care of me. See, there's another thing that comes in here. There's many of us sitting here that are Social Security exempt, right? And we have made a commitment that we're going to take care of our own. We're not going to depend on the government aid, the Social Security, the money I've set aside for that. We're not going to depend on that when we get up there. Okay, so the question comes, is it okay or is it a negative thing for me to lay aside money for the time I come to the age where I'm no longer able to work? And everyone's just waiting to hear what I say, right? Just waiting. Okay. Let me just put out this thought. First of all, I'm going to suggest that the retirement mentality is wrong. Could we all agree with that? I think we could. The retirement mentality is a wrong way of thinking. When I come to 65 years of age, I'm just going to quit working and I'm going to enjoy life the rest of my life. I'm just going to enjoy life. I'm just going to put out this idea that mentality, that idea is wrong thinking. It's wrong thinking. I think we ought to have the idea that we need to labor as long as we can. It doesn't say, okay, now, Brother Eli, he's sitting back here. Okay, his wife keeps saying, you need to slow down, and he keeps pushing ahead pretty strong there. Okay, all right? Okay, now, I think it's okay for him to slow down, right? I think we'd all agree it's okay for Brother Eli to just slow down. But there's something about the mentality that he has that's right. Am I right? And I think it's okay, Eli, if you just keep on slowing down, all right? But there's something about that whole idea that our heart ought to be to labor, to work, to be a blessing as long as we can. I'd also like to just put out the idea that I think it's okay to lay aside some money for the time coming and prepare. You know, we have a place to live, have something where we would have some money laid aside to do what's needed. I think that can be okay. I'm going to suggest that that's okay. But there's a difference between that and the retirement mentality. There's a difference. We need to keep going here. So is there allowance to lay aside money? I think there would be in preparation. I think so. The ants do. We do for the winter. We prepare for the winter. A lot of people were making hay in preparation for this winter. You know, I've got a bunch of cows, and the cows have hay. I have a stash of hay stashed for the winter, and winter's going to be is just around the corner, but laying aside treasures on the earth, where does that come in? What was Jesus talking about? What was he talking about? Okay. I'd like to move on here. Here's another scripture I'd like to just bring in. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4 through 8 says these words. And it's specifically geared toward widowhood, children taking care of family. It's geared toward that, taking care of your own. And it's in that context of widows. I'm just going to read verse 8. But if they provide not for, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. There is a responsibility for us to take care of our own. I'm going to say that I have seen people who have not been responsible in this area and had the give me attitude, the give me spirit, the give me everyone owes me something, and it's not taking responsibility. Okay, lay up treasures in heaven. Laying up treasures in heaven. There's a day coming for all of us, if we're faithful, that we're going to be in glory one day. If we're faithful, through this life, and we die and we pass on, one day we're going to be in glory. And there's going to be people in heaven who won't have any treasures laid up. They won't have anything stored away for themselves in heaven. And I don't know how all that works. I don't know how all that looks. I don't understand it all. But the Bible tells us to lay up treasures in heaven. And there's this story given. I heard someone give this story, and I'm not sure that I can give all the details. But there was this story of this group of people, and they made strangers their king. And he was, when they made him king, people who came in, they say, "We're going to make you king for 1 year." And they made this person king. And when he was king, after he was king, he discovered that after this 1 year of being the king, that at the end of it, when another one comes in, they would always exile this king that was king out to an island where there's nothing. And his mind started spinning. What's going to happen to me? Because he realized that these people out on the island that had, if there's no food there, what happened? They died. So he started thinking about this thing. And he ended up, he heard that the other kings all died. And he was starting to become desperate and finally put a plan in place. And he said, in this next year here, I'm going to stash all kinds of food out on the island. And that whole year, he sent food out. And at the end of the year, he was ruler. At the end of the year, when he was exiled out on the island, guess what he had? He was able to live. Anyhow, that's a little story. Okay, but think with me that same principle. If Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures here on the earth, but lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust can corrupt. How many people in here own a car? Okay. All right. Is there any that own a car that that you've brought the car to the place where it's quit rusting? Anyone? Anyone raise your hand? No one. If you buy a car, it's a one-way street to the dump. To the dump, right? Okay. I mean, here we spend all this money and it's gone. Right? It's gone. This church house it was built in 1896 this church house was built. And we had to do some quite major renovation to bring it, to restore it, so it'll go for another 100 years, right? Okay, most of the houses in this community will never last 100 years, never. In less than 100 years, they're torn down and new ones built. Why? Because they deteriorate. Everything around us is totally... It's a one-way street. And here the Bible says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And I wonder how many are doing that. I wonder how many are laying up treasures in heaven. Right? You know, there's some that are buying cars. I do. Some that are buying trucks. I do. Some that are buying houses. I do. Right? But what about treasures over there? What about using everything we have to be laying up treasures over there? One day we'll get there. There's some people that are going to be empty-handed and others that'll have a nice amount. Now, let me just bring things into perspective. The widow that came giving money, she had one mite. And Jesus said, that two mites, thank you. She had two mites. And Jesus said that what she gave is more than all the others. Why? Because she gave all. Isn't that something? So it's not in the amount that you give, but it's in the percentage that you give. Am I saying that right? All right, so I'm gonna say if I give $1,000 and Caleb, my youngest son, he's got, I don't know, does he have, $30 in his piggy bank? Think with me. If I give $1,000 out of everything that I have, what percentage is that? And I look at Caleb. And he gives, he has $30 and he gives $25. Okay, do you follow? Okay, that's how God views it. Right? Okay, we need to keep our perspectives the way that God views it. Right? So, laying up treasures in heaven... So it'll be there when we get there. I don't think we'll starve in heaven, but maybe we'll be skinny in heaven if we're not laying up treasures up there. I don't know. Everyone's smiling. I don't know. I don't know how it'll be over there, right? But get the point here. Brothers and sisters, are we laying up treasures in heaven or are we not? Are we laying up treasures here on the earth? Lavishing things upon ourselves, or are we laying up treasures in heaven? Laying up treasures in heaven can be done with money and possessions. It can be done with time and energy. It can be done with time and energy. There are people who don't have much money, but they're investing their time in the lives of men and women, and they're investing in eternity. They're investing in eternity, and they're doing that. They're doing that by the time they're spending and people getting converted, people's lives being changed for eternity. I wonder sometimes how it'll be when we get there and we'll have people walk up to us and they'll say, "Do you remember that you said that one time? You spent this time with me and this is what you said. And you know what? That what you said there, that time that you spent with me, this is what it did to me." Some years ago, I got some feedback. I'm going to say about 26, 27 years ago, I went with my brother-in-law and my wife. We're just newly married, and we spent a Sunday evening with a family out of the area somewhere. We spent an evening there. We had a wonderful time opening the Bible, looking at scriptures, and I never saw those brothers again. I haven't to this day. But more recently here, is within the last 10 years, I got feedback around the circle. And this is this brother that told me this. He was talking to them, and somehow they got on the conversation, and somehow my name came up. And they were like, "Oh, yeah, we know him." And they went back to that Sunday evening, and they talked about everything we talked about, and they talked about the changes it made in that local church and in another church in another area because of that conversation. I was like, "Oh, I never knew that." Okay. I wonder, across this crowd here, I think there's many of us that one day in heaven we're going to find out the spiritual impact that our lives made on other people. I'm lifting that up to say, storing up, laying up treasures in heaven is money, but it's also time. Time that we invest in other people. Time that we invest in helping other people. Not just spiritually, but also just helping and blessing other people. There's various ways that we can lay up treasures in heaven. I see my brother in the back. He's smiling from Indiana. We have some special things to talk about after the service, right? Okay. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, we don't have these, we have these devices, but if I would put a recorder on everyone in here, a hidden recorder in your pocket, and you wouldn't know it, and for the next week, all your conversations would be recorded without anyone knowing it. And then at the end of a week, all those conversations would be evaluated. The Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Okay? So, if you have a treasure, and everyone has a treasure, everyone in here has a treasure. My young boys, guess what they do? They go to our shop, and they build these little things. Have a hinge on it, have a little lock on it. And guess what they do? They put stuff into that little box. And what do we call them? Treasures. And what do they put in there? they're special things. And what happens when their sibling or brother comes and gets that little box and hides it? Guess what happens?
Ooh.
Okay? Something happens. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Okay? I wonder, after that week, I wonder what the things are that are coming out of our mouth in this group right here. I wonder what really made us tick. I wonder where our ambitions, where our energies, I wonder what that really looks like. Now, all of us need to make a living, right? We need to make a living. Us men, we need to make a living. Our wives are at home taking care of the children, their energies. Oh, children are a good treasure, right? Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. there's some women whose treasures, I'm not going to tell you where it goes, right? But there's women who have treasures, too, outside of where they should be. I'm going to talk more about the men, right? I'm going to let the ladies off. But you think about it, ladies. Where are your treasures? Men, where are your energies going and your heart? You know, yeah, I need to make a living. But your energies, your heart, where is it really bent toward? The Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if your treasure is in money, possessions, hunting, all kinds of stuff, if that's where your treasure is, there will your heart be. And the difficult thing is, we need to make a living. We need to make a living. And so in this endeavor to make a living, sometimes those things shift in the wrong place to where those things become our treasure. And if they do, our heart, the Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Our mind quickly goes there. No man can serve two masters. No man can serve two masters. No man can do two things at one time. Now, the ladies can do that, but us men can't. Ladies can do that, but men can't, right? Well, I want to make a point here. Where our treasure is, or where our treasure is, there will our heart be. We can't multitask on that one. There's no way to do that. We have to make a living, but somewhere, our heart is somewhere, and it will always be where our treasure is, always. So let's just say that our heart is to reach out and somehow help people. While we're doing our work, all of a sudden that opportunity comes and boom, boom. Our heart follows that, right? Our heart follows that opportunity and we share the gospel. If it's helping people in some way, we're working and all of a sudden opportunity comes to bless someone in some, whether helping them work or, you know, all kinds of stuff. Boom, our heart goes there, right? Where our treasure is, there will our heart go every time. You can be working, and if that opportunity comes, your heart will, boom, go there. Every time. Every time. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says these words, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I don't know if we believe that or not. I don't think there's anyone in here that believes that. Or is there? Let me read it again. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Do we believe that? Loving the world. What is the world? The world is everything around us. We can't separate ourselves from the world. This shirt that I have on here is of the world. The shoes that I have on is of the world. Our houses are of the world. But the Bible says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If we believe that, we're going to be very aware of that. We're going to purposefully choose to put a treasure in heaven where it belongs. He goes on to say, don't worry about tomorrow. God's going to take care of us. I'm going to just read some of these words here where it says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet of your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Who feeds the fowls in the air? God does. Does God feed you? Does God feed you? God's very interested in us. God will take care of us. That does not mean that we should be irresponsible for our finances. That's not what he's saying. It doesn't mean if it says don't give any thought for tomorrow, what it's really saying is don't worry about tomorrow. You know, there are some people who really worry about tomorrow. And I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands here this morning of how many of you have ever worried about what's going to happen tomorrow or where the money's going to come from. Okay? God is very interested in us, and he's looking for us to trust him. And if we trust him, then he'll take care of us, and he's asking us to be diligent as we do that. So should we make money? Should we make a living? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28 says these words, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. That he may have to give to him that needeth. Now, should we be at the place where we... I'm not sure how to say this. Have we all heard the word voluntary poverty? We've heard that word, voluntary poverty. I'm going to suggest that people who have the voluntary poverty mentality, they purposefully choose to be in a position where they don't have much money, so people give to them. That's sort of what I've seen. Rather than doing what the Bible says here in having to give. Now, it doesn't say, let me just make one thing very clear. It doesn't say having money to lavish upon ourselves. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. It says having to give. Is there a difference there? See the difference? There's a difference. Okay. And in verse 33 here it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I think I will endeavor to quickly take the next one. Don't be, trust me, that I won't be too long here. I'll try not to be. Okay. Judge not that ye be not judged. Judge not that ye be not judged. I'm going to suggest that there's many, even in this room this morning, who look at this word, this phrase, and it sort of scares them. Judge not that ye be not judged. What does it mean? Okay, because sometimes when I do something wrong and I get feedback and people respond back and say, well, you're just judging me, okay? You know what I mean? There's this back and forth, you know, you don't judge me, and you know, okay. I like to just look at, try to figure out what this means. Judge not that ye be not judged. let's read here before we go into it. In chapter 7, it says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now, here some years ago, I remember a situation where I was talking to a man, and he, as we were dialoguing, he had some very strong things to say to me. He had some very strong things to say to me, and as he was sharing, you know, I see I'm a preacher, right? And so preachers, it's okay to do it to the preacher, but not other people. Anyhow. And he had some very strong things to say. As I listened, and he was saying, this is what I did, this is why I did it. He had all my motives all pinned out. And after a while, I just listened, and he was telling me what my motives were for what I did. And after I just listened, and when I was all finished, when everything was done, I asked him, would you like to know what I was trying to do? So I explained to him, this is what I did, and this is the reason I did that. And he goes, oh, yeah, I guess I was wrong. I guess I was wrong. In this congregation, if I would go around the circle, I'm sure that there's a lot of you that have felt judged by other people already, right? You felt judged by other people. And you have looked at that and said in your own heart, if they would know what I was really trying to do, they wouldn't say what they did, right? I think all of us have experienced that. Okay, let me just say, that's what we're talking about. That's it right there. That's what we're talking about. So we're not talking about, see, some people use these verses to say, you shouldn't give me any admonition or any correction. No, that's not what these verses are saying. Not at all. But what happens is there's this tendency to have it all figured out. There's a tendency to have it all figured out what the motives are for what people say. There's this tendency of that. And I'm going to say that that's wrong. I'm going to have a suggestion for us. I have one suggestion for us here this morning to try to bring this together. There are things that I sometimes do wrong. And I want you to know, brothers, I want you to come to me and share those concerns. If there's concerns that you have, I want to open that door real wide for you to come. But when you come, it's good to share that you have a concern, but then try to understand what really happened and then share your concern rather than having a preconceived idea of how this has all happened. And then you end up missing the boat, and he walks away and says, well, that doesn't apply to me. And the Bible says, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what measure ye judge, you will also be judged in that way. Why is it, brothers and sisters, that sometimes there are people that just get, you know, they just get, yeah, people are always, they're judging him or her. Why is that? Why do some people judge him or her in a stronger way? Is it not because if I'm very judgmental at you, Brother Dirk, if I'm very judgmental at you, you're going to tend to be more judgmental at me, right? It'll tend to be that way. Okay? It'll just tend to be that way. If I try to understand you, you're going to try to understand me too, right? And there's going to be much less of that. Do you follow what I mean? Judge not that you be not judged. So coming back to just in very simple terms, time is running out here, but in very simple terms, this is my point. It's important for us to try to understand the motive of the things that are happening and not when you see an action or a statement or a comment, not to just have a flat, I know exactly what his motives are, boo, 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 and judge that whole thing. That's wrong. That's what he's saying. He's saying, don't do that. Don't do that. He might be wrong, but he might be 25% off when you thought he was 100% off. And if you understand what was going on, we can still be brothers and help each other, right? Okay. Now, one more thing. It says, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? A mote and a beam. Okay. That's not big enough for a beam. A beam is a big beam, right? Big beam. A mote, like a toothpick. Smaller, actually. Much smaller. I want to bring to our attention, in this scripture, it doesn't say, look, see if you have a beam in your own eye. It doesn't say that. It does not say, look, see if you have a beam. It says, pull it out. It's assuming you have one. So it doesn't say, look, see if you have one. It says, pull it out. Okay? So if we see something, if we see a mote in our brother's eye, it's not saying that we shouldn't go pull it out. Actually, it's saying it's okay to do that. But when you go to pull out that mote, just first understand that you have a beam yourself. And pull that beam out first, and then you can go to see the moat. You know, you can pull out the moat once you pulled your own beam out. And normally, let me just say this way, very simple words. Normally, the beam is our attitude. Let me just say that again. Normally, the beam in our own eye is our attitude. It's our attitude. And I know I'm at the age where my eyes aren't quite as clear as they used to be, and sometimes I look and then I go, you know, right, brothers? It's okay for you to come to me. I open myself really wide, okay? Do that. Come to me and share with me what the mode is in my eye. And if I come to you, I'm going to try to pull the beam out first before I come so I can see clearly. But let's try to pull them out, and then let's try to look at, understand the heart, the motives, everything that's behind it, and not just go and just plow people over. You know, there's a lot of people out there that just plow people over, right? You know, I think we've all seen them, right? We just plow people over by the things we say and judgments we... Okay, don't do that. Don't do that. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. I think I'll stop there. May the Lord help us to be faithful. These are good teachings, and may our heart draw to God in our endeavor to walk in obedience to Him. Lord bless us all.